O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. For all that I love Advent, and I do very much love Advent as my favorite season, but for all that I love it, I have never really taken to John the Baptist, who comes up every year for at least 1 week of Advent. But in this lectionary year, he gets 2 of the 4 Sundays. So I tend to dread this year's Advent cycle. Can't we just move on to Mary already and her decision to bear God to the world, her song of when the world is made bright? That's much better Advent stuff. But in preparing for today's sermon, I've become fascinated by John the Baptist and this glimpse into his faith story that we read today. When we enter this story, John is in prison, where he will live the very few days that he has remaining. He sends a question to Jesus: are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Throughout the Gospels, there are many who do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. However, others ask about who Jesus is in this very same question, but they ask because they have not yet recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Some of them will come to confess this, others will not. But in any case, they ask in a way because they have not done so before. John, on the other hand, recognized Jesus in utero. He was known as the prophet of his day. He even saw heaven open, a dove descend, and the voice of God proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah. He proclaimed to all who listened that Jesus is the one. He was clear that his job was to prepare the way for the one who was to come, and he was confident that Jesus was that one for whom they had waited. This is the John that we read of in every gospel story until this one. What has happened now? He was so certain of his Lord, certain of his vocation, certain of what God was going to do in his world. Now he's asking if what he proclaimed so fervently was actually true, if what he did with his life mattered. He's asking Jesus if he is who he says he is. John's question is quite different from those who do not yet know that Jesus is the Messiah. His question doesn't come from before the birth of faith. His question comes in the midst of a wavering faith. Not faith vanquished or gone exactly, but faith that is no longer singular and certain. Now faith is mixed with doubt, disappointment. Now faith remembers the profound experiences that once reassured it and struggles because those experiences have become rare or non-existent when they are needed most. So surely Jesus will offer a clear answer to the question of this one who has given so much for him. But he doesn't really get an answer to the question. And what he does say is kind of worrisome for John, actually. Remember what Jesus said he had come to do when he announced himself in the synagogue in Galilee at the beginning of his ministry? He quoted from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The original verses from Isaiah actually say, "to proclaim release for the prisoners." This is what John believed Jesus had come to do, because similar words ring throughout the prophets, even in our own passage today from Isaiah. Jesus said himself that this is what his life would be about. And it is largely what he repeats in his answer to John. The blind receive their sight, the poor have good news brought to them. He maintains all the claims, except those about proclaiming release and setting free those who are in prison. He conveniently leaves out exactly what John is longing to hear, the precise words that would offer John some hope in his present situation. We're never told how John received Jesus' response. This is the last we actually hear of the man whose miraculous birth was announced by an angel, the prophet who prepared the way for Jesus, the last we hear from him until we learn that he is executed due to a mix of royal dislike and pure vanity. We are left wondering how John received Jesus' last words to him. And honestly, I think that wondering is hard. I would love to have a better answer, because I think my fascination with John is because I've come to see a similar story to my own. There once was a day when I was so certain of my faith, when spiritual experiences that confirmed my belief were so common, when I was sure that my job in life was to get people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Today, I can't say that all of those statements are true. That doesn't mean I don't believe Jesus or that I'm not a Christian. But much of the certainty is gone. There are a lot more questions, and many days I struggle to figure out how best to live this life in our world. And if I'm honest, I also struggle sometimes with the question of if Jesus is the one so long waited for, because it seems like we are really just still waiting. We have more people in prison than ever today. The lame and the blind are certainly still among us, along with more who suffer and are judged by our society. This is a story I hear from others too. We remember a time in our faith of certainty, of passion, of singular commitment. All of that is not totally gone now, but it is not what it once was. There are questions that have never been answered, and there's sometimes pressure not to ask them. We prayed fervent prayers that weren't answered, and the constant struggles of each day have left us unsure and confused. This story about John makes me wonder if this is a more common faith story than we generally think. The thing is, most of the stories in the Gospels and that we hear of the early church are of faith being found. But there must be something to learn from someone for whom faith is maybe not lost, but at least deeply changed. Maybe Jesus' response to John is an admission that although he is the one to come, there is still more waiting to be done. The kingdom of God will come. And when it does, all of the lame will walk, all of the blind will see, all of the poor will receive good news, and all who are imprisoned and oppressed will be set free. Some of this was already happening around them then, and around us now. But it will not all happen immediately, and John certainly would not live to see its completion. And we join John in that space. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is renewing and restoring our world. And we also live in a world where that work is not all done, and we must wait for it to be complete. And waiting for it to be complete means that we have to live with doubts and disappointments. It means that things happen that are not fair, are not right, that this world is still not as it should be. 2,000 years later, we join John in waiting. 2,000 years later, we join in this tradition in Advent, asking the question of if this Jesus is who we wait for, or if we should search for another. 2,000 years later, we search our world for the work of Christ among us and long for him to come in the many places that are still so desperate for him. 2,000 years later, we can have hope, for we know that this is still the world that God is being born into. This is where God was born, where it was impossible, and where God is still born among us today. And so in this season, we both celebrate the one who has come, and we long deeply for his coming again. The story of John reminds us that we are not alone. We never have been and never will be. Many have trod our path before, and many will trod this path after us. And even God has chosen to walk it with us. In our doubts and disappointments, in our wavering and our ambivalence, where all hope seems lost, Jesus comes among us. Where old ways die, new ways are born. In the places where there is only bitterness and hurt in our hearts, new life can begin. And so where we lose our certainty about Jesus, we may actually just step into the truth that is the resurrection, a truth that is all around us and always longing to be born in us. I don't know what happens next in my faith story or in yours. Just like John's response will always be a question. But what I do know is that God will be with us and in us, still present and active in our world, just as he was in the time of John. And as we revisit this story of Advent every year, I believe that the truth of Christ is alive in us and that God is still working in each of our stories. I am sure that our stories go on and we are continually being lost and found. I'm sure that where there is death in our life, resurrection will come. That where there is darkness, light will shine. And that in the places we cannot even dare to dream any longer, God will be born among us soon. And so, for a little longer, we wait. Amen.